Hey, y'all are listening to Big Facts No Cap with Paul and Adrian, the only advice column that's number one with grocery shoppers and grown teen boppers. We got a killer episode for y'all today. Let's go.
Big Facts No
Cap.
Big Facts No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big Facts No
Cap.
Big Facts No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big Facts No
Cap.
No cap.
No one asked you to pop it for a real man, lad me.
Have we ever told the audience that we are also practicing our twerking while recording most of these episodes?
That's why I'm always out of breath.
Yeah, that's why I was stumbling across all those words while reading the article about bugs, Marshall.
Oh boy.
It's not because I'm stupid, man.
Couldn't be me.
No cap.
Dorley, do we have an expert opinion on that? Is Taylor Swift gay?
No.
Oh, Dorley says she ain't part of the fam.
Yeah, she's definitely not.
I kind of like the conspiracy theory. I think it's fun.
No, but it really is. It's like more insane than the most insane QAnon conspiracy theories. Taylor Swift being gay just doesn't really make sense. Straightest person I ever damn seen.
I ever damn seen. Well, for a woman, I don't know. I think I'm sure I've seen more straight men.
Every woman's a little gay when you think about it.
If you think about it. So what's been going on with you? How was your BBQs?
Oh, my BBQs were fun, man.
Your BBQs for your BBs?
I had my BBQs for my Habibis.
Ooh, your Habibis and your Habibtis? Or is that one of those things like Spanish where it's if you're referring to men and women, you just use the male form?
I don't think you'd ever pluralize Habibis.
Habibas? Habibas and Butthead?
Habibas and Butthead. No, because it's like, if you were going to call like one person small, you'd call them Zrier. If you were going to call one man small, you'd call them Zrier. If you were going to call one woman small, you'd call her Zrire. But if you were going to call a group of people small, it'd be Zror. So it's a whole other word. There's a third world word for pluralizing things.
There's a third world word? Yeah, you do. Yeah, you know, that's what it is.
Oh no, I'm going to be canceled.
Just saying, you're telling on yourself, Paul.
Zrir is kind of the opposite of Akbar, which is like a word you probably know famously from the phrase Allah Akbar.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it's
offensive.
Which means
what, all glory to God?
Well, I mean, it literally means God is the greatest, but great being it can be big, which is why Zrir is the opposite.
So it's like last name ever, first name greatest. That's kind of what it's like about God. Hold on, let me turn my mic upside down.
Upside down. That's the only way you could say the bar for last name ever, first name greatest.
I gotta be drinking a Sprite too, yeah. It's that crisp taste.
What if that man was very suave and a spy? Would he be like, pleasure to meet you? It's greatest.
Ooh.
Greatest ever.
That's the move. Do you think it's bad that that's a way that you can tell that somebody's a suave spy because it gives up the fact that they're a spy?
That they say their first name, then their first name, last name?
Yeah.
Bond. Gee. What if his name wasn't that tough? What if it was like Squeaky Bean, you
Munchausen.
Know?
Munchausen. Beanie Munchausen.
Squeaky Bean Munchausen. Get our top man on it. Get Squeaky Bean Munchausen.
It's a Latino spy who has like five names. It's Silva. Silva Day. Rafa Silva Day. Armando Rafa Silva Day. Bernardo Rafael. I already lost track. De Silva.
And then they have like some really ridiculous one syllable thing that they're like, my friends just call me Bloop.
My friends just call me Bleh.
My friends are just like Bleh.
Every time they refer to me.
I do love that part of like when a foreign person has the longest name ever. They're like, but you could just call me Choop. My name is
Hondo P.
This got offensive real quick.
Ooh, yeah, I was about to say, I would not have tried that.
I should go with an Arabic one so it's not offensive.
That's why I did the Latino one.
My name is Samir Merkel Hamoud. My friends call me Sam.
You can call me Sammy.
They call me Sammy, bye.
Oh, you know how people always talk about how Leonardo da Vinci's name isn't Da Vinci? That's just meaning that he's from Vinci?
He is famously from Vinci, yes.
His actual last name isn't much better. It's just, like, from his dad's name, because that's how they did last names back then. So I looked it up to be like, oh, was it Johnson? Like, what was it? And it was, like, De Silvi or whatever, like, whatever his dad's name was. It's not that much more interesting.
Damn.
No one ever does the second part of the research.
Leonardo.
Oh, yeah.
That's how he tried to get laid. At a bar, she was like, well, what do I care? You're from the city of Vinci? Wait for it. Leonardo da Vinci. She's like, oh. Ooh.
So I've heard big things coming from that guy.
I heard you drew a helicopter. What an asshole. He drew a helicopter and he gets credit for it. He never built it.
I don't know. Is this your new celeb enemy?
No, I'm just saying, when people are like, oh, you know, he invented the helicopter, and it's like he drew a thing. Like, I can't, like, draw something, and then when somebody else invents it, be like, yeah, no, that was me. I'm the one who did that.
You know, he invented people with eight arms.
And tiny penises. Before him, that wasn't a thing.
That was actually a sign of nobility back then.
I think it was, like, they used to think that Gallic tribes were savages for having big penises. Which is not a stereotype that we have anymore, that the French and German people have big penises, but...
I kind of, it depends on how they carry themselves. You can kind of tell. You know, they're the ones that are like, I'll have a wiener schnitzel. And they're the ones that'll be like,
a wiener schnitzel.
Hey, come on now. A flattened out piece of veal. Did you want to talk seriously about your BBQs or anything else that happened?
Yeah, they were really nice. I really enjoyed them, man. I think I've taken to barbecuing like a champ. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie to you. I think this is my new thing.
Okay. Anything else exciting?
I saw Barbie and Oppenheimer.
Ooh, don't spoil Barbie. We're going to go watch it tomorrow.
She dies at the end.
There was a comedian in an open mic that made that same joke. No, actually, it wasn't an open mic. It was a book show. So, Paul, you're at least as good as a booked comedian. Apparently, she teaches improv for people of color on Sundays.
So, I make the same joke as a WOC comedian. Interesting. Interesting how I'm woke and you're broke.
I am. That's true. How was Barbenheimer?
Barbie was good.
Wait, did you go alone to Oppenheimer since no one wanted to watch it with you?
No, my friend Daniel and his friends went.
Oh, he would like it. Yeah, that makes sense.
Oppenheimer rock, dude.
Yeah,
it was so cool. He was like, I am become death, destroyer of worlds. Twice in the movie, he said it.
Is it true that happens during a sex scene?
Yeah.
Or is that a joke?
No, it really does. It was very funny.
That's insane. That's awesome.
No, and also, she opens up to a random page. I'm like... This is what I think people don't understand about that scene. It's telling you about who Oppenheimer is. Because a big plot of the movie is that he's a player and he fucks a lot.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering how he bagged a Florence Pugh. I was like, that seems too good for some random scientist dude's wife.
And she opens to a random page and points to something. And she definitely was just pointing at some, like, you know, like how the Bible's like 90% like John's son of Elijah, son of Ethan, son of Israel. All the way down, like it's just 90% filler and bullshit. There's no way she wasn't pointing to the version of that. But he knew how to spit game. He was like, I'm not going to say whatever's on that page. I'm going to say some hard shit. And so that's what people don't understand about that scene. It was teaching you about his character, how he is perceptive in the moment about how he needs to behave.
Damn.
How he controls everybody around him, how he's a mastermind.
She's saying it's really a character study.
Yeah.
And a prequel for the movie Mastermind.
So people calling that scene cringy just simply do not understand Oppenheimer.
Ooh, this is getting into territory of my little undergrad trying to defend the sexual assault scene in Blade Runner. And he's like, clearly you didn't understand the context of the scene.
What a weird thing to accuse me of, but okay. My main thing of Barbie would be that it felt
Which
more
one did
like
you rate a, higher?
It felt more like a Oppenheimer for sure. But
wow, okay.
I don't know why it's getting called so feminist. It felt like a film about Ken and how cool and fun Ken is.
Feminism's for everybody.
Whereas, like, Barbie didn't, like, she had an emotional arc, but it didn't feel as meaningful, or it didn't feel as, like, thought out or even showed on screen as Ken's arc. Ken really felt like the main character. I'm like, that's a weird choice in a Barbie movie to make Ken the most interesting character here.
Yeah. All right. I mean, my brother's take on it was that it was basically just feminism for babies.
How's your week been?
It's been a whirlwind, brother. When was the last time I recorded? Last Sunday?
Yeah.
So I taught my last two lectures. I gave an exam that went horribly. The kids did not do well at, and that they were roasting me for in the Discord.
But was it the same kids who didn't show up, though, to the classes?
I mean, you can never believe how much they actually lie or don't lie when they talk about how they studied. But one of them was like, I watched every lecture twice, and I still didn't. I got the same grade that I did on the first exam. But I don't know. Anyways, it's all sorted out. Today we released the grades and sent out a message saying, here's what we did. We think it's fair. And so far, no one's complained. And yeah, it's handed over to Josie now. So I'm done officially teaching. So I was able to sweep away to Portland to help my broken sister.
Disabled. She
broke herself. Well, she was previously disabled. Now she's broken.
Oh.
Is
she on the island of broken and misfit toys?
No, otherwise she'd be in the Island of Misfit Toy songs that the Buster Cops wrote.
Mm.
Also, that was more of like a sardonic, like they were built different type thing, you know?
Well, not the broken toys.
They were misfit toys. Is there an Island of Broken Toys?
I mean, if there's misfit toys, shouldn't there be toys that people broke?
What kind of logical deduction is that?
Wait, you know what? You're right. In the Barbie movie, the broken toy, the toy that the girl played with too much, just lives with the rest of the Barbies. So that's weird, Barbie. Yeah. You won't guess which SNL alum plays her.
Oh, that's too many. That's too big, too broad of a category. Everyone and their mother's been on SNL. It's not Molly Shannon, though, is it?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, otherwise, God. I'm sure you would have mentioned that in your review. Yeah. We've been just getting basic things done, getting Dorley moved out.
If Molly Shannon wasn't night. The movie, I would have been Leo DiCaprio on that yacht in Wolf of Wall Street. I would have been pointing.
Wait, that's when he's in his bedroom, right? Not when he's in the yacht.
I forgot what movie that meme is from. I have no clue.
Yeah, I think that's all I had for things that we've done so far. We're going to go to another comedy show tonight. Oh, I will say the comedy show was really interesting because it was a booked show, like I said, so it's like the real, like, hoomst in the Portland comedy scene. Mm. And I was telling Phil how funny it was, how much it mirrors the Columbia comedy scene, where, like, they got the one conservative dude who, like, did a joke. They had a Bill Burr. He's a guy, white guy, dating a black woman who told really weirdly conservative jokes about, like, I was asking my girlfriend, what's the difference between, like, a person of color and calling someone a colored person? I mean, they're basically just the same thing. And I was like, oh, my God. Not only did you have to ask that question, but you wanted to make it into a stand-up fit? No, he did have a thing where he was really interested in trying to get a banter going back and forth with the really drunk woman there, but she had left when he started. So he made fun of her a little bit, and then she ended up actually coming back, and he was trying to interact with her. And I was like, I think we could just leave her alone. We can leave her out of this. Maybe just do your written material.
Is that it? Should we get into the theme?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
All right, let's not force ourselves to talk about this forever unless you have strong opinions, but grocery stores.
I got
stores.
Lots of strong opinions. Yo, we're talking grok, bruh.
We're grok and talk. Okay, grocery stores.
Yeah, I got... Wait, what are your go-tos?
Publix and Harris Teeter, but I mean, that's very much like a where I live sort of situation. And Trader Joe's. And Whole Foods.
But where do you want to shop? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Whole Foods for, like, it's a very convenient location, and it I don't do, like, full shopping trips there, but I'll pick up one or two things if I need them.
Yeah, I feel that way about the nugget. That's the closest thing we have.
Go, shoot, King. Let us know. What are your hot takes? What are your cold takes? What are your cold cuts? Where do you like to get your cold cuts from?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, right now, you know, I used to be a Trader Joe's boy all the way through. Just very used to it. Knew all the ingredients. Knew how to make all the recipes using that stuff. I'd go to other places usually for produce for recipes. And then it just got a little too pricey for a weekly shopping trip. So I started going to Grocery Outlet, which I don't know if you have the exact same thing over on the East Coast anywhere. But it's like the type of store where their whole merchandise is excess merchandise from other suppliers. And so they can sell everything at a discount. And I've complained about them before because sometimes I think they exaggerate their little yellow tags that say this is the regular price, this is our price. But I think for the food, it's mostly spot on. I think they mostly do that with wine. So it's a psychological thing where you always feel like you're getting a good deal. And then it's also like just a like matter of fact thing of like, yeah, you can just get a bunch of food there for pretty cheap. So it's a little bit variable. It's not consistent in what you're able to get, but that's kind of the five.
The closest thing we have in Charlotte is the Compare Mart, the Hispanic grocery store. is especially the produce is like very cheap and honestly like sometimes better and fresher than you get at like the Harris Teeter. Harris Teeter, at least the one for the Charlotte heads out here, the Plaza Midwood Harris Teeter has the worst grocery section or the worst produce section ever. It's upsettingly bad.
Really? People always complain about Trader Joe's having the worst produce section.
Oh, definitely. Like, Trader Joe's probably has a smaller produce section. This one has a more unreasonably priced and less ripe and, like, good quality fruit problem.
Oh, see, what I always got was the random white women, when I told them I worked at Trader Joe's, would be like, so what am I supposed to do with my spinach? It always goes bad in a day.
Oh.
And I'd be like, take it out of the bag, wash it, put it in a separate container where it can breathe. Which I don't actually know if that's true at all. It's not what I did, but I heard someone say that once, and I was like, it feels like you're giving them an answer.
Take it out of the bag, wash it, stuff it up your butthole, and get away
from
it.
Shove it up your ass. Yeah, I was just about to say. That should have been the instruction. Okay, back to the powwood. The things that I was thinking about, self-checkout, 10 items or less lines, samples, what else? What other things about grocery stores? All those crazy things that people have strong opinions about.
Did you see that Bon Appetit column? It was an advice column, and one of the questions was like, 10 items or less, is it okay? But their answers were too jokey. It was like, is it okay to bring 11 items? It's between you and God. And I was like, okay, whatever, never mind.
Oh, I like that they're just doing Vaya con Dios. What do I do with a piece of produce I dropped on the floor?
I thought the answer for that one was ridiculous. Give it to an employee? No, buy it or put it back. Do not bother an employee to hand it to them hand in hand, so that they're just holding a single avocado. And they're like, well, what do I do with this?
Is it ever okay to ride on the carts like a race car? Yes, I hope so. That one's dope.
How would you have felt at Trader Joe's if somebody handed you like a thing of lettuce and was like, I dropped this? Like, you would be like, fuck you, asshole. You figure out what to do with
it. Yeah, I would have been like, is that why it's all shredded? Because you dropped it?
What did they have full things of lettuce? I don't get that joke.
Because usually it's like iceberg lettuce. It's like shredded up in a bag.
Oh, I tried to save some money. Maybe this is why shopping was so expensive for you, Adrian. You're buying the pre-chopped greens.
Oh, wow. Okay. Just shaming a person, classist. Okay. No, I think at Trader Joe's, you just have to take it with a smile and take it to the back and, I don't know.
I know, but it's just like, wouldn't it have been easier if they just put it back on the pile? Or?
Well, that was one of the other questions that I always got heated about was people not understanding that if you have a refrigerated item and you don't want it anymore, leaving in the freezer section means we still have to throw it out because that's not the right temperature for it to be stored at. And so the number of times people would just be like, this bag of lettuce can be thrown in the freezer and then someone will come get it.
It is weird to put something back in the cold area. Like, I don't know.
It's because they think, they just think that like, cold enough.
Yeah. Well, but were you guys upset about that or did you get to keep that stuff or was it like one of those fake?
No, that's donated.
Oh, donated. Good. Okay.
Yeah. No, we would rip out the bag and throw it on the floor in front of the customer. While Taylor Swift's Look What You Made Me Do.
Get on all fours, you pig. Eat it. Eat it up. No
Eat
hands.
Eat your slap, piggy. Eat your slap.
Hey, I mean, the other thing, what you have to accept when you shop at Trader Joe's. The small parking lot. Sometimes employees make you eat the unused food up off the floor on your hands and knees, but great brands.
I call you a little piggy. But no cards, no coupons, no secret handshakes. Just everyday great values. All right, anything else you want to get into the columns?
Yeah, let's do it. I got a column from Miss Manners, Adrian, posted on the Mercury News. Dear Miss Manners, I was in line at the checkout. I had put my items up on the belt for the cashier. A 50-ish year old woman came up behind me, took a divider, and pushed all my items together up the belt to make room for hers. This is a top pet peeve for me. I was taught to be patient and wait my turn. I'm a 67-year-old woman and physically disabled with MS. I said to her, nervy. She then turned the situation around to make me the bad guy instead of her ignorant behavior. I would never touch anyone's items, either by hand or with a divider. That's just plain pushy and wrong. But by the way, just so you know, a lot of exclamation points were like at number 5 by now.
Oh, yeah.
It became
at the end of the sentence, not like in a row.
Yeah, yeah. It became a war of words, another exclamation point. Okay, every sentence from here on out has an exclamation point. The older cashier in the next aisle took her side. I was very angry. Who do these people think they are? They have no right to do this to anyone. I asked if she felt she was more important than me. Please respond, as I am still fuming.
The initial thing to start the conflict was very mild. I don't even know if I would have actually registered exactly what she was saying. Nervy is not something I normally think of as like a way to describe something.
I think it's maybe British, but yeah, I think like on the belt, right? Like she put all her groceries up and she put them all the way up to the back. But you know how like...
Oh, no, I got that part. I got the part of her turning around saying nervy. If someone did that to me, I'd be like, thank you? What do you mean? What does that mean? And to you too, sir.
You would leave that conversation like, I am looking nervy today. That's so sweet of her.
Yeah. They'd be like, you're incredible. And I'd be like, thank you. I am incredible.
Okay, let's start with the initial happening. Whose side are you on? Because I think it's totally okay to push somebody's groceries a little bit.
Well, now we're getting into, like, is she a reliable narrator or not? If the story is as is described, I agree this is an annoying thing to do. I don't think I would say anything about it, though.
Wait, you would be upset if somebody pushed your groceries a little bit forward?
Yeah, what? They're just going to be like, I'm going to take Adrian's groceries and I'm going to push.
You put a bunch of space between your groceries that there was empty space for them to be pushed forward. And then you're going to get upset because they push your box of Ritz crackers up 2 inches so that they don't have to carry their groceries.
You know I'm not buying Ritz crackers, Paul. It's too many carbs.
They push your rice cakes forward a little bit so that they can put down their watermelon that they've been carrying.
They're going to crush my rice cakes with their watermelons?
No.
Unless that's a euphemism, I'm not okay with that.
They pushed them forward so they could put the divider up, put their things down, lighten their load.
Are you insane? No, you're not allowed to do that. Don't push my stuff.
Really?
Just wait a goddamn second.
If anybody pushed my shit, I would not care at all. It's so funny.
Because you're not a real man, Paul.
It's so funny. I did not realize anybody would even think of this as impolite. You just let the world and everybody push you around.
You won't stand up for yourself when injustice happens
to you.
Also,
I've definitely pushed people's groceries forward, so I'm defending myself.
Okay, yeah. I was about to say, this seems like a bit of projection. It seems like you're trying to make yourself not seem like a villain.
I didn't realize people would care.
Why would you choose this if you knew you were going to be a bad guy?
Well, wait, I don't get what offends you about it.
I feel like this is going to... I need to go back and listen to all the questions you brought in and be like, was Paul the one who was taking shits in the in the shower?
No, he was...
Is this all just projection where he's trying to find validation?
He was peeing in his office. Because he was the boss.
We've done both of those columns. Really. And you did both of those.
Advice columns rock, man. People are
such assholes. Cool, man.
No, really, what offends you about this? Explain to me why you would care. I just could not imagine caring. Is it maybe because you want control? Because you're a little fascist?
No. Well, it's my groceries. My space. You're the one who's
it's
invading.
It's not your groceries. Yeah, you haven't bought them.
You're the grocery
fascist. The grocery store's groceries.
They're soon to be my groceries. I have handpicked them to be the heir of the throne of my previous groceries that were thrown out because I didn't use them in time.
Maybe your groceries wouldn't be taking up so much space if you just used all your groceries instead of having to go on multiple big grocery trips.
I think space is just a big issue for me. Like, I don't know. Do you ever get upset with people who just like... aren't aware of how much space they're taking up in a small aisle, especially like Trader Joe's? Does that not upset you?
But this person is the one taking up too much space. They've spread out all their groceries all up and down the whole goddamn conveyor belt. They're doing the grocery version of man spreading. She was grocery spreading. She probably put the eggplant all up on that belt.
You could get an opinion in the Wall Street Journal saying that this is a new phenomenon and that it's mostly white men who do this, but I don't think that makes it right. No, I don't think it's okay.
But you could also get the same opinion on the people shoving the groceries and be like, it's men taking our space.
Yeah.
It really just depends who gets to this article first, whose side the broader culture will be on.
I mean, are you never in the grocery store? And this is even pre-COVID times, someone's just standing too close behind you while you're checking out?
No.
Really? You never get upset by that?
No.
It's so weird. I don't know.
Well, I don't hate other people like you, Adrian.
I just respect my space. And what are they doing? Were they carrying these, like, 6 watermelons in their hands? They didn't have a grocery cart where it's just as easy to keep them in there and wait?
Well, I mean, you never get the carry carts?
Baskets?
That's a better word for it.
Do they call that something different in the South? Like, is that called, like, a mini buggy?
Oh, yeah, no. I'm not just being a moron when I say carry cart. That's what they call them in Europe.
I was making fun of Phil earlier today because he had a story about a grocery store thing happening to him. And he was like, and so there was a buggy in front of me. And I was like, I always forget that you were raised by a Southern family, like, legitimately. And you say stupid shit like that.
The stupid shit Southern people say, like, buggy in the N-word.
Yeah, that two things. You know, if I were to punch up that joke, I would do buggy and then muggy, so it makes it sound like you're gonna do a third one that rhymes and then do that one. No, I think this is insane behavior, and I think it's crazy that you think she's...
Well, she's one, definitely in the wrong. Escalated. Okay, we talked about the initial situation. She's definitely in the wrong for letting this spiral.
Yeah. I agree with that.
That I would legitimately think you were insane if you were like, no, and this was a fight worth picking.
No, definitely not. That's what I was saying, is what I would do is I would just keep it internally and fume about it all day and feel sad.
You wouldn't make the cashier, you wouldn't, like, swipe your credit card really slowly to waste their time?
Ooh, no, that seems petty. But I'm not above that. I have done that before where someone said I was putting too much stuff in each bag while I was bagging at Trader Joe's, and so I purposely started putting, like, two items in each bag, kind of passive-aggressively.
Wait, and this they actually did... I just remembered this happened to me at Target the other day. I was the person checking out, and the cashier, like, very oddly aggressively, like, was like, "Sir, what's your stuff?" And I was like, "Oh." And I was, then I went to look, and I was like, "Wait, the person behind me was the person who pushed their stuff against mine. Why are you talking to me rudely? Like, I was not the person who combined the stuff and didn't put a separator there."
So much as if that's bad behavior that confuses everybody.
Well, if they just pushed my stuff to fit their stuff, that would have been fine. Use a separator so that the cashier doesn't speak curtly to me.
Do you know what a bootlicker you sound like right now? You're like, if someone pushes my groceries with the bar, I'm just gonna be like, "Push harder, daddy." I like this.
I'm just gonna bend over, spread wide open, and be like, "Put that bar deep." Well, I don't get why you think it's somehow harming you for somebody to push your groceries a little bit on the belt.
That's not what I stated. I just said that it's an annoying thing.
But why is it annoying? Something annoys you when it harms you.
That's the definition of harm.
When it frustrates you, when it creates some sort of mental burden on you. What is the mental burden this is creating on you to have your stuff pushed slightly?
It's rude. It's,
wait,
it's,
how it's, is it rude? You sound like an old person trying to explain why hats and doors are rude. Like, you're just being like, "Oh yeah, it just is by natural law."
Because they're taking your stuff, they're saying, "I'm gonna push." What if you have breakable items? What if my little oat crackers get broken?
Okay, now you're moving on to, like, you have, like, eggs loose for some reason. Like, no, obviously they're gently moving.
What if I do? I'm alone. Gently. It doesn't sound gentle. No one with a gentle heart is doing this. Certainly not with a gentle body. Where does it end, Paul? Where does it stop when you have a mind like yours?
Alright. It is funny how much this spiraled into an argument and then the other cashier had to get into it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. That seems like a bad idea to intervene in that, and then also to directly choose sides. I feel like that's a bad move as an employee. I don't think I ever did that. I don't think we were explicitly trained on that, but I think you always kind of just be like, "Hey, let's take a temperature check and let's calm down here, buddy." I think everybody here is right in their own way.
At Harris Theater, they teach you to just start taking off your hoops so you can fight a bitch.
And what would someone who does that sound like, Paul? Can you do an impression?
Hello, it's me, Ethan.
All right.
Because anybody can wear hoops nowadays, Adrian. We've ended gender.
All right. This podcast. Hold on, what else happened? I asked if she felt she was more important than me. Oh, that's a good point. Good response.
I like that you're on the side of the insane lady.
I think she acted disproportionate to the situation, but fundamentally... Don't disagree with her.
All right, let's see what Miss Manners says. Let us suppose that the shopper behind you did do something rude, though Miss Manners is inclined to think that she did not, given the lack of supporting specifics, damaged objects, muttered commentary. Was there no polite way to solve a disagreement about personal space? You could have said, "Excuse me, But would you mind waiting until I have completed my transaction before unloading your cart? One rudeness does not justify another. An opinion Miss Manners holds strongly, even though she is able to punctuate it with a period.
Damn, she called out her writing.
Yeah.
How often does that happen?
To be honest with you, not very, because if we've learned anything from this podcast, most advice columnists cannot put a sentence together. So
yeah, that's also true. Yeah, I agree with that answer. I don't agree with... You know, I hate when advice columnists...
I win.
What?
She said it's not that rude, probably.
No, she didn't. She said it is definitely rude, an invasion of personal space.
What? She said... She literally started by saying, let's suppose that the shopper behind you did do something rude. So I'm inclined to think that she did not, given the lack of supporting specifics.
Nah, Miss Manners don't know shit about fuck.
I'll win.
But I do hate when advice columnists give you a script to follow. It's always bad.
Oh, yeah. And this one is particularly bad. It really falls into the trap of sounding so robotic.
You tried to read
robotic.
It like a little nerd, too. And it does, yeah, come off that way.
Excuse me, but would you mind waiting until I have completed my transaction before unloading your cart?
Wait, who's the... Is that... It's Schmeagol on top of the Hound from Fox and the Hound?
Okay, Adrian, I get being distracted by some of the stuff.
Come on, it's kind of funny. Look at him.
You son of a bitch.
He's dying on there.
Oh, you didn't react to the fact that I'm no longer on Twitter. I'm no longer problematic. I'm now a
nice
boy. Oh,
you didn't let me know.
I'm now a nice boy on Blueski.
Hey, Thorley, I bullied Paul off of Twitter. I made him the main character.
No, you didn't believe I was planning to get off as soon as I got on Blue Sky, and I finally got on.
I kept calling him right wing for being on Twitter for so long. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Oh, he thinks he calls him Iron Man. He doesn't call him Elon Musk. He calls him Daddy Elon. He says, push my groceries, Dina.
What's wrong with you? I call him Zaddy Elon. Can you tell a goddamn story correct for once?
Okay, so here's my article. I tried to find a Trader Joe's advice column. I know they have a podcast, but I thought they'd also have an advice column for some reason. Instead, we're going to do something more about cultural groceries. This is Dear Prudence. We're going to bring in Prudy Giuliani. In this case, it's Janae Desmond Harris from 2021. Here we go. My brother-in-law married a woman from India shortly before the pandemic. We met her at the wedding and got along well. Now that restrictions are loosening up, my husband and I plan to visit his brother's place with our two kids for 3 days. They are within driving distance, so we loaded up groceries to help keep costs down during our visit. I noticed that my new sister-in-law, who had received us warmly, was acting a bit odd. I asked her if she was okay. She said that she was confused as to why we brought groceries, that they are fine financially and looked forward to hosting us for a few days. I assured her we meant no offense, that we just didn't want to burden them with feeding our family of four. She asked if I would expect her to bring food if she visited. It was awkward, and I told her that that's just what's considered polite in the States. While the trip wasn't totally awkward the whole time, we never really recovered from that conversation. I admit I'd feel a bit put out if I was expected to feed another family for several days' worth of meals, even though we can afford to do so. Please help me navigate a follow-up with my sister-in-law. Just trying to be polite.
Wait, is that what we just do in the States? I did not know about that.
Well, you know, are we good representations of what we do in the States?
I guess, maybe. Is this what I'm expected? I haven't been being a good guest.
You didn't show up with a bag full of jalebi babies?
Dude, what the fuck? This question writer is very in the wrong. They're an asshole.
You know, it's cultural differences. You don't want to be a cultural imperialist, Paul.
Yeah, yeah. Famously, the Arabs really pushed their culture on the United States. What did Dorley say? You looked over and giggled.
Dorley laughed at me calling you a cultural imperialist. And she also said that the person's definitely in the wrong.
Yeah, for sure.
I can't think of a time when I've been in this situation. I know there is a cultural thing where, and this has always caused friction in my family. Apparently, and I don't even know if this is like a direct translation, but for my parents, if anyone ever invites you to dinner and is specifically using the word you're invited to dinner, their assumption is that you're paying for everything. That's what like being invited to dinner means for them.
Oh, I've
and that has caused friction
that.
In the past where, yeah, so that's been a thing where like, are there my mom's boss who can clearly afford to like, probably other people food will invite us to dinner and then expect the check to be split. And they've been like going home before being like, they invited us to dinner. Like they were supposed to pay for everything.
You know, the one that's gotten me before, I don't know if this is like a cultural thing. I have no idea.
When someone says Netflix and chill.
Yeah. Man, that's how I lost my booty old virginity. It's not a joke. Is when, somebody says, I've been raised in America my whole life, so the fact I don't get this is completely on me, but, like, the phrase, oh, I have extra tickets to something, the expectation that I would pay, because I've been to something and then gotten a Venmo request for money.
Oh, that's crazy behavior.
When somebody said, I have extra tickets, the word extra made me think immediately, oh, you're inviting me to be
superfluous,
like, to make it more fun for you, and because you know I like this person, and you are basically saying, oh, somebody else bailed, so I'm not going to charge you for it. Just like,
you're not a scalper. I met on the street. You're a friend of mine.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. The phrase extra ticket
is not.
Yeah,
what are you talking about? Yeah.
Okay. I'm not the insane one here.
No, that's crazy.
There was one time where it wasn't that cut and clear. It was somebody said, oh, I have 5 tickets to this movie. Do you want to come? And I said yes. And then they requested me for money. And I was told I was in the wrong for assuming it would be free.
I'm trying to think of other phrases that are like that. I feel like there's plenty of things like that. But yeah, I can't think of an explicit time where we've gone to stay at someone's house and brought food with us or didn't bring food with us. Never. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is actually, that's a good point. Dorley just mentioned that usually you get a text from your host asking, what do you want here when you get here?
Yeah.
Like, what do you want in the fridge, or what do you like? Yeah. So, that's a good point.
I think, especially a whole week's worth of groceries, like, also for a family of four, it's like, you didn't ask if they have enough space in their fridge. Like, you're also kind of putting them out in a weird way. Like, you don't know what their plans were. Maybe they wanted to go out. Maybe they wanted to show you their favorite meal. Like, obviously it's rude. Like, you're disrupting their life and plans. Like, you're a guest at their house. You give up control. And I think that's what makes us rude, is it feels like you're trying to force control. And it could even be read kind of in like a racist or culturally insensitive way.
So you're saying that it's like she has her space and you're forcing your groceries into her space in a way that you could be considered rude.
Oh, you think the conveyor belt at the grocery store is your space?
That's my home. My home away from home. Every time I'm there, I'm like, this is my home.
But no, you know what I'm saying? It could be even read as racist, or a little like you being like, oh, you're going to have weird Indian food, or like...
Yeah, if she took it that way, I can see why she would just think it's outright racist.
You know what I mean?
If you show up with fruit by the foot, goldfish, and like turkey sandwiches,
it reads,
and you're like, we just need something in case our stomachs get a little too overwhelmed.
It can be read that way. It can also be read as, I think you're a bad host and I don't think you'll provide food for me, so it's kind of insulting.
Or they kept bringing up that, like, I think you're poor. Can be the interpretation. And they're like,
there's so many ways it could be taken badly. On top of, I think she miseducated her. I don't think it's normal in the States. What was the exact thing she said? It's expected in the States. Maybe I'm just not American enough. I'm not red blooded. Well, I've never heard of this expectation.
Hey, Paul, all I'm saying is try this in a small town.
Dude, they'll fucking lynch you for this shit. Who's that
lynching,
guy?
Really?
Who's that guy that wrote that song like a week ago about lynching people?
Oh, I don't know about that one.
It's a song I read out to you, Small Town.
Oh, James Aldean? James Aldean?
Yeah.
Sean Aldean?
Yeah.
Something like that? Jason.
Oh, yeah, Jason Aldean tries that in a small town. Does Dorley know about this story? He just wrote a song about lynchings?
Yeah, they also talked about it at the open mic last night.
He just wrote a pro-lynching song. What the fuck, man?
Well, that's why conservatism is the new the new punk.
That's my Oh, you don't remember that Ramones song that was like, we love lynching people.
Anything else about this? Anything else you want to say?
Do you feel any type of way? I'm kind of passionate.
Could you not just ask? Could you not have just like?
Yeah.
Could you not have just asked if that's okay?
I'm kind of passionate about how in the wrong I think the question writer is in this one too.
Mm.
And then to write in and be like, isn't she being weird? It's like, what? I don't know.
Mm.
Well, it sounds like an awkward situation that, like, they just mostly recovered from but didn't all the way through. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
That's true. That's true. Oh, then the last part about how she would feel offended if somebody came to her house and didn't bring things, that also makes me feel like
you should never not,
like, what? I don't know. That makes me feel like this person's a bit of a jerk. Like, they're trying to, like, create these rules in their head and then judge others and create this weird judgment when other people don't meet their odd and kind of random expectations.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I could think of is, like, it's a classic American thing where, like, she got two sons, they're on the football team, they're 17 and 15, and she's like, you do not have enough food to feed these boys. I'll tell you what, I gotta bring a little extra.
Okay. If they're eating 3 hamburgers each for dinner. But then you text ahead about that.
And she's like, I don't even make burgers. I don't eat beef. I guess I'm just a lady baby for them.
And then when she's like, it's a little weird, you brought a bunch of groceries to my house. She's like, yeah, but you're stupid fucking Indian. Of course, it's not actually cool here.
Also, so wait, this is you're worried about getting along with your brother's brother's wife. Do you guys need to be best friends?
Wait. No, it's her...
Or, sorry, her husband's brother's wife.
Yeah, that's an in-law. That's like somebody you see a lot, probably.
Yeah, I guess that's close enough. And they live within driving distance. Also, what's the idea behind... We're in driving distance, so we can bring groceries with us. Why not just show up and then
sleep in at your own place?
Oh no! What I mean is, like, why not just get there and then figure out if you need to go grocery shopping?
Oh,
why be like, hey, let's pack coolers with ice packs for this trip instead of just getting stuff when we're there?
Also, is this one of the situations where the, like, men are just boys? They're, like, already downstairs having a beer. Like, what are the husbands doing in this situation that they didn't communicate
about?
They
don't deal with any of these things.
They're not like, oh, my brother would think this is weird, or, you know, they're not having any of these conversations, like the two people who actually know each other intimately, and it wouldn't be awkward to have talked ahead of time.
What do you think are the chances that Prudy's advice is get your husband to explain these American things to his wife?
What you should do is wear red, white, and blue next time. Get her a little American flag pin it on her, and give her a crash course in Americana. Make her watch the first Christopher Nolan Batman movie. Take her out to a Ruby Tuesdays.
The Ruby Relaxer.
Get her a Ruby Relaxer, the favorite drink among every American or every patriot. Buy her a poster of who's a famous football player.
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning.
Tom.
80.
Tom Holland?
Buy her a poster of the movie 80 for Brady.
Oh, Tom Brady. That's who I was thinking of.
Tom Holland. Did you say Tom?
Shut up, man. I was gonna ask. You know how sometimes people will actually, like, do that whole dress up, like, in American flag stuff as an immigrant, but just on the day that they're naturalized to celebrate it? Did you do that when you were naturalized?
No.
No, you didn't wear, like, an American flag cape?
No. I told you, though, that I did see some Hispanic people from our school in Charleston.
Yeah.
That always cracked me up.
All right, you want to read this answer?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, here we go from Prudy Giuliani. Oh, cool. First line. This is actually very sweet. You wanted to be a good guest, and she wanted to be a good host, and you simply ran into a cultural difference.
Oh, she bought her a comb, and she bought her a watch strap. She bought her pocket watch chain. Okay, interesting.
The difference might have to do with your countries of origin, but also keep in mind that different families and communities within the United States have different traditions and norms. So it wasn't totally correct to tell her that this is how things are done here.
Okay, Prudy was like, what the fuck? Of course nobody does this in America. You're making shit up, lady.
In my experience, it's more common to offer to pay for a dinner out or bring a gift to show your appreciation when when visiting someone than it is to fill their cabinets with your own food. Good point. So instead of thinking, she doesn't understand the United States, your mindset could be, we don't understand each other. You should have a talk with her that prioritizes vulnerability, curiosity, and a little bit of humor. Something like, I've been thinking about, I just talked about in the last column about writing a script. Prudy just wrote an entire fucking paragraph of what we're supposed to say.
Do I need to play a character?
No, this isn't a back and forth. This is just a monologue that you deliver at the beginning.
Okay, I'm getting a real upskirt of Dorley right now. If you wanna...
Oh, yeah.
There you go. I've been thinking about how I brought groceries to you.
Sorry, we went anime for a moment.
I've been thinking about how I brought groceries to you during our visit without asking you, and I want to apologize again. I was taught to do that so feeding my kids and me wouldn't be a burden. But I'm realizing every family has different traditions, and I feel silly now, and that I see it from your perspective. Because of course you could afford to host us for a week. I just did what I've always done when I visit people, and I really sent the wrong message. Now I'm eager to learn about the other ways that we might do things differently, because I want to be a good guest. And also because you're my sister now, and I want to make sure I'm not rude by mistake.
No, she said it already basically blew over and was awkward, but whatever. So don't say this. This is weirder. This is definitely way weirder than just moving forward, not doing shit like this.
Can I text or call you and ask you questions sometime? Sorry again for bringing 6 boxes of Cheerios. I won't do that again, and honestly, I'd rather eat the food you cook any day.
And now Prudy is telling a white person to ask a POC to educate them. Okay.
Ooh. And then if she agrees, maybe you can open a light, ongoing dialogue about food, gifts, child-rearing, celebrations, taking shoes off in the house, or anything else that might come up over the years. Not because you always have to do things her way, but because you should each know where each other is coming from. Hopefully, years from now, you'll be saying, "Remember when I brought all those groceries to your house without asking you and I thought I was calling you broke?" And laughing about it. There you go.
I think the dialogue she gave her would make things way more awkward.
I think it would establish the fact that you're going to make a weird thing out of small things.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like it's not like, oh, and now I heard that she was deeply offended and she talks shit about me, in which case it'd be like, okay, yeah, have a little conversation with her. But it's like, okay, she tried to get over it. It was a little weird. Like, obviously, anytime you meet somebody and you're on a bad footing like that, it gets a little awkward for a little bit. But
all right, you want to do this third segment?
Yeah.
All right, Paul, did you prepare something, or are we just looking something up?
Yeah, let's look something up.
All right, look something up. Look it up, Paulie. Look it up. Okay, so we're not doing a bracket, but we're going to do a series of individual battles where Paul and I are going to pick what are called fungible items in economics. You might know this if you've ever DoorDashed groceries or grocery Instacarted something, where sometimes you'll ask for, like, a case of Coke, and I can't remember, is it automatic or is it, I've never done this before, but like sometimes they'll text you and be like, "Hey, is Dr. Pepper okay?" Or
yeah, oh God.
Yeah, and just, yeah, so sometimes they'll just like text you a picture and be like, "They're out of Coke, is a 12 pack of Dr. Pepper okay?" So we're gonna do a thing, we're gonna put up highly replaceable goods, oftentimes very mirrored goods, and decide which side of the battle we're on.
Which, by the way, the only reason I know how those apps work is, did you ever see the discourse around them?
No, what's up?
Basically, it was like, one person in New York was like, "Oh, I use this app, and I'm so tired of, like, the men who are doing the job. You know, they'll not get what I want, or they'll get, like, a replacement for it that's not exact." And one time, one of them texted me, like, "I can't find the thing you want at the store." So I went down to the store, found him, found the thing, found him just standing there lazily, not doing his job, found the thing and showed him that he was doing it wrong. And then people were like, "Well, are you insane? Like, if you could make it to the store, why didn't you just get your groceries?" And then it was other people being like, "Well, actually, that's ableist because I expended a lot of energy to do that, which I usually wouldn't have, like, I was going to do something else with that energy, and I'm disabled." And
I was actually about to cure cancer.
It was like literally like, I'm disabled enough that I can make the trip to the store to make that point, but not to go grocery shopping regularly.
Yeah, that's annoying.
So it was a real discourse around whether who was in the right, which obviously the DoorDash worker, that person's insane. They're out of their goddamn mind.
Yeah, of course. I think there was a weird thing where, I think people, what's the word where it's a psyop, but it's not a psyop, but like on Reddit, everyone was getting that True Rate Me subreddit promoted to them at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Around the same time, the DoorDash subreddit was getting really popular, and it was mostly just people complaining about how bad their DoorDashers are. And it's just weird, like, the insight you can get into people where, like, you give them any amount of, like, "Technically, I'm your boss for a minute. I get to be your boss for a minute while you're my DoorDasher.
I will never use those apps, man. They are the stupidest fucking thing in the world. They really, like, they offend my sensibilities.
Yeah. I had a Dash Pass for a minute during the quarantine where it was better to do that, and I had a little bit of that extra spare cash to do it, but never again.
Unless, of course, you're disabled. I'm not trying to say that they don't have a place, but, like, honestly, the place that they should be is, like, probably city-run and government-run if it's, like, for disabled people, if that's the argument. Not, they should be paying people reasonable wages.
Yeah, yeah. Hourly, too, with benefits.
With benefits. This idea that you get to have your own slave when you're disabled is kind of insane. Okay. First up, Adrian, on this column, we got the classic. Coke versus Pepsi. Do you have a fave?
All right, and we have Dorley as a tiebreaker in the room if we need it. I've mentioned this before, but our family is literally like a, hey, can I get a Diet Coke at a restaurant? Oh, we only have Pepsi products. I'll get a water. That's what my really? Mom will do.
She hates Diet Pepsi.
We're a Coke family, a Coca Cero family specifically.
Oh, okay, and I don't give a flying fuck, so.
Is your entire strategy for this game just to seem too cool and be like, I don't care, actually?
Honestly,
I don't think that makes for engaging content. Really? You think Pepsi tastes just as good as Coke?
I don't care. I don't like either of them that much.
I mean, I don't want to go all Malcolm Gladwell on your ass, but come on. Clearly one's better.
I don't like either of them that much, man.
You don't like Coke?
I think Coke has the better branding. I really like, if I was going to pick one aesthetically, I'd pick Coke because I like the polar bear.
Oh, yeah. You always like Team Red. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, next up we got Nike versus Reebok, which is weird that it's Reebok and not Adidas, but.
Yeah. If you did Adidas, it'd be harder, but Nike versus Reebok. Nike. Reebok's like what? Like a white supremacist thing?
What?
It's only like white dads in the suburbs.
Dude, I wear Reebok. I wear Reeboks all the time. The Reebok Classic?
Oh. Makes sense.
One of my favorite shoes.
Makes sense that you're into them now.
Okay, Dorley's got to tiebreak us.
Dorley tiebreaker, Nike or Reebok? Nike, she lives in Portland, where there's the main headquarters. But she did fall off a Nike bike, and that's why she's hurt right now, so she's in two minds of it. But she said Nike in the original Greek.
McDonald's versus Burger King.
At one point, this was an actual rivalry, and now it's, like, laughable.
Obviously,
clearly McDonald's is better. Yeah, obviously.
If you liked Burger King's food more, I would be okay with saying that that should mean you can be institutionalized.
Well, here's what I'll say, is that I think McDonald's is better at quality control, but, like, the franchise next to my apartment used to be, like, really well-run and pretty good, where, like, they just ran it really well.
I'm not saying I don't fuck with Burger King. A Whopper hits when a Whopper hits, but their french fries are trash.
The fries are terrible, yeah. Okay, yeah, I think we all agree on that.
This one I think we're going to have strong opinions on. Macy's versus Gimbel's.
What?
Gimbel's must be, like, a department store from, like, what? Is that where Miss Maisel worked in the show? I have no fucking clue.
Macy's, I guess, wins. I don't know. I don't really have a strong opinion on it.
Yeah, I think I'll agree with you there. Nintendo versus Sega.
Well.
I know. We're putting up a child against Mike Tyson now.
Are you getting this from an article, or is this just a Google search of, like, top rivalries?
11 most intense corporate rivalries in business histories.
Oh, okay. Well, historically, yeah, there was an actual back and forth, but no, yeah, Nintendo's clearly better.
Yeah. Microsoft versus Apple.
Ooh, I mean, I think you've been on your green bubble rant, so you kind of already,
Do I have a rant?
Said your piece on me.
Oh, well, that was more to make fun of Connor. I think I probably would, if I had to give up one, I'd probably rather have an Apple, or I'd rather have Microsoft system overall.
I don't care either way. Both get the job done for me.
Is your plan to just act too cool for school this whole...
Actually, I'd go Linux.
That has always been your personality. Ford versus Chevrolet. I've never owned either, so I think this is up to you, Adrian.
My high school girlfriend for Christmas one year got a Chevy Cruze, which is all she wanted. And I did not understand it. It was a cherry red Chevy Cruze. Before that, she had a silver Volkswagen Jetta. But it was a nice car. So That's all I can say about that. I don't know anyone. Oh, actually, we use Ford F-150s for our lab. So actually, the Ford has done more for me than the Chevy has. I'm going to go with the Ford. I've kept a lot of bees in that truck.
Ford has a cooler aesthetic, so we'll go Ford.
I've also stolen it to move things around in town a lot.
The Los Angeles Lakers versus the Boston Celtics. Ooh, and Pierce might be listening.
Yeah, we just found that out. Alright, you know, I'm going for them C's, baby. C's get degrees.
Alright. I'll go for Lakers, just so that we have to hear Dorley's opinion on this one.
Really?
Yeah, also, the Lakers have, you know, they have such legendary players, what's his name? The guy who's really annoying about stuff now.
Dorley. Yeah. Celtics or the Lakers? You're the tiebreaker, you have to care. No! He's going for the Lakers.
Ah.
Dorley was bored. She's going to die in LA.
Amazon versus Walmart.
You know, if Chance the Rapper was our tiebreaker, he would have voted for the Celtics.
Oh.
Because he has that one line about everyone hates the Lakers.
Ha ha.
Didn't like it then, didn't like it now.
That is a line where he laughs at it himself afterwards as part of the bar. He's like...
Yeah.
It's
in juice.
Amazon versus Walmart.
Two very different things. I don't even know if you can consider that a rivalry. Maybe in the earlier days?
Yeah, they're two. Let's skip this one. Next up is Boeing versus Airbus. Don't care about that one either. Let's go to another article.
I thought you might as an engineer. They don't have one of like Michelin versus Firestone?
Aldi versus Lidl.
We don't have one of those. I don't know the other one.
Oh, Aldi all the way.
I mean, Aldi all the way. You know, Aldi's nuts.
Lidl's are nice. They're also kind of like I'm sure you would like it. It's very similar in, like, style.
Do you have those in Charlotte? I think there might be one in Lexington. I just never went to it.
In Greenville.
Oh, okay. Paul, can I ask you one?
Yeah.
New York pizza, Chicago pizza. And this one you can't subvert and be like, actually, St. Louis pizza.
I'm a real Detroit-style guy. They do square cuts with the sauce over the cheese.
They use the pans that they would use to catch oil from the motor vehicles, and they started using them to cook pizza in.
Wait, is that true? That's not true. That's such an asshole thing. That's the actual
origin story for why they have this particular style and structure to it.
Whoever says that needs to get a grip.
It's all car related.
If we make our spaghettis and exhaust pipes.
It's like an episode of Cutthroat Kitchen over there, but for an entire city.
Yeah, don't even get me started on our glove box cakes.
You're gonna love our spaghetti carbonator.
Fucking assholes. Can't believe that's the city that gave us Danny Brown. New York style pizza.
Oh, okay. Well, I mentioned this earlier. Toaster Strudel, Pop-Tart. Two brands that actually went at each other in commercials and not in like the Wendy's Twitter way.
Toaster Strudel had a better product. Pop-Tart had better online games to play as a child.
Is that true?
They just had that. You remember that guy who was like a stick figure who tried to like bike? He was a Pop-Tart. He would like try to bike like over like a cliff or something. Yeah, you could play as him on the website. And I remember thinking that looked fun. So I typed in the website. I clicked, yes, I do have my parents' permission to be on this website. And I played that game.
And it immediately charged you $50 on the credit card. No, I remember I thought it was really dumb because the commercial where Toaster Strudel went at Pop-Tart, they were like, which would you prefer, a stale room temperature little pastry or a hot buttery whatever? And I was like, you can heat up the other thing. You can't use that as a point of comparison.
Yeah, but most people don't eat it hot. If you eat a Toaster Strudel cold, you're insane.
No cap.